Couple of great geeks. Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet. On 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, super hosts, Anime and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. This show is all about the San Diego Comic-Con 2010. And so, you know, if you've been listening, you heard our Leverage interviews. You heard our Tron interviews. And right now we are talking about the pilot of The Cape. And coming up in just a few minutes is our interview with David Paya, the CEO of Universal Designs, who are responsible for that amazingly awesome Dark Knight motorcycle suit. So yeah, that's coming up really soon. So yeah, let's just get back to The Cape. Let's talk a little bit more. There's some awesome stuff we haven't gotten to yet.
So, you know, some of the stuff I really like about The Cape, you know, pilots are always, you know, pilots always have a big budget, you know, they're the thing that sells a show.
Mm-hmm.
But this one had some really awesome special effects. They have this thing,
and they weren't even all finished yet, which is like the best part.
I think some of them finished, some weren't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they weren't all finished yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, they have this like chemical explosion.
Or implosion, or whatever.
And it like destroys this car in the beginning. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
And they have a big like tanker explosion and all this stuff. Like we said, you know, the cape is like you know, a lot of the action was sort of choreographed that reminded me of Batman Begins.
Yeah.
How like, you know, in Batman Begins, how like there'd be a bad guy and all of a sudden he'd get like grabbed by Batman's, you know, I don't know, like his cape or his wire or whatever, and they'd like fling off into nowhere. You know, I thought what was really interesting about the pilot too is it's almost like a movie by itself. Like,
yeah.
You see the guy as like a good cop, and then you see what happens to him, and then you see him training to become a superhero, and then by the end he's a superhero. Like, it's like a one movie inside a pilot.
Yeah, you learn so much.
Yeah.
Like I said before, you learn who the good guys are, you learn who the bad guys are, you learn who the kind of medium guys are, and you just learn it. There it is. Here it is. You know who you're fighting with, you know who you're fighting against.
Yeah, but I think the most important thing to, you know, talk about is the fact that, you know, we weren't really too excited about it because we're like, another superhero thing, either, you know, he's Batman, or, you know, he got some superpower somehow, mm-hmm, by finding like a ring or something. But like we said, you know, what's really cool about this is they found like cool old school, you know, like throwback, mm-hmm, ways to make him a superhero.
Yeah.
And the things are like this, you know, he has this cape where he can like grab stuff and like, you know, deflect stuff. He has this like chest plate that supposedly has like these power, this kind of, it's indestructible basically.
Yeah. Silk.
Exactly. He also is losing. He's using illusionist stuff where basically he can make like a cloud of smoke around him so he can like get out of places.
Mm-hmm.
I believe one of the... And what was it, one of the other things? Oh, and he's learning how to hypnotize.
Yeah. And he's, so all these people at the Carnival of Crime, he's learning their skills
learning
so that he can
tricks.
Use them to be the good guy.
Exactly. You know, I have to say, you know, like we said, we're just going to say who the bad guy is, who Chess is, because, like, when you
You'll
watch
find
it,
out. Yeah.
You know within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, you first off, if you watch certain other shows, you recognize the voice immediately, know. But even if you don't, they show you within, like, the first 15 minutes of the show.
First, let's say, you know, Chess is a supervillain, mm-hmm, named Chess, and, you know,
costumed supervillain.
Exactly, yeah. And one of the cool things about him is he has these contact lenses that look like chess pieces.
Yeah.
And they're really, really cool. But we're just going to say who the bad guy is because, you know, you're going to know, like, instantly. And it's this actor is blowing up this year, named James Frain, who was in, I believe he was in The Tudors. He was in The Tudors for a while, but he is huge right now because of True Blood.
Yes.
He plays that fantastic character, Franklin Mott in True Blood, who is just kind of like one of the big new characters, is really, really awesome. He's also, by the way, in Tron Legacy as Jarvis. He's really kind of blowing up this year, and he's actually really cool as Chess, and also, you know, the bad guy, the main bad guy. And also, like we said, Keith David, who, you know, is just very, very awesome in everything.
And Vinny Jones.
Scales. Yeah.
He plays Scales.
You know what's really funny about that character?
What?
I've always been thinking about, you know, when we're talking about the, you know, like a sequel to the Batman movies, I always figured they could do Killer Croc like that, because there are people that are born with that condition. And so it's really cool that they have Vinnie Jones' character like that. And also, I have to say, probably the best strong guy of TV history.
Yeah, the character's name is Rolo.
Yeah. See, there's a lot of strong guys in TV history. You know, look at, you know, for a great example, is Elliot from Leverage. You know, mm-hmm. Christian Kane, you know, ex-military guy, mercenary guy, total badass. You know, you got guys like B.A. Baracus, you mm-hmm. know. But this is a tough guy that's very unique. Why is he very unique anime?
Well, because he's played by Martin Kleba, who happens to be a little person.
Yes.
But the great thing is exactly what he wanted to happen, that you watch him be the strong man, and instead of thinking, wow, that strong man's a little person, you think, that strong man is the best strong man ever.
Yeah.
And then you think, yeah, and he's a little person. That's awesome. But you don't like... It just makes it so much cooler, because he plays the strongman so well. He's just got it down to a T.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I mean, you know, they
believe he could beat you up.
I agree. Well, you know, they picked him obviously for the shock value and how cool it is. And I think that, you know, initially part of the human condition is to be like, wow, that's really weird. But as the pilot goes on, you realize that, you know, it's actually really it's likely not only the way he plays it, but the way that they kind of show how he fights. It really makes sense, and mm-hmm. it's really cool. And yeah, he's like the best strong guy ever. So you are going to see a little person beating up, you know.
People.
People.
Characters.
And and so that, you know, that's just fantastic. And yeah, just the show itself, I think, is it's really, it's fun. And I like the fact that the cape, you know, he sort of looks like the guy from Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it's just good fun. It's really good fun.
And Summer Glau.
We are
always happy for Summer Glau.
You know, playing a computer genius. And she's, you know, good at that because she's hot.
Yeah.
And she played a genius.
And actually, by the end of the first episode, you find out her motivation, too. So.
Yeah, you know, she always plays a genius, though. She's not a robot. She's a genius.
Oh, yeah.
Both River and her character in Dollhouse were both geniuses.
Well, I believe that she is a genius.
Yes.
She just is that person.
Well, we saw her in Big Bang Theory, and she clearly was a genius.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yes.
But anyways, why don't we move on to our UD Replicas interview?
Yes, let's do it.
So we got to meet the CEO. I'm just hitting things.
Yes,
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
We got to talk with the CEO of Universal Designs, UD Replicas, David Paya, who they are responsible for that amazingly awesome Dark Knight motorcycle suit.
Yes. I tried to run off with one. They stopped me.
Yeah. Which we actually have pictures of the Dark Knight suit and a few of their other suits up on the site, and there will be more to come, and hopefully we'll have some of the video up too. Let's get straight to the interview.
So first off, where did the idea to make these crazy motorcycle outfits come from?
I'm glad you asked that. Well, the reality is this. I've always been a huge superhero fan, and I used to run a costume-making company. And we used to spend a lot of time working on sculpting and molding suits. And it just dawned on me, I'd love to have a Batman jacket to wear. And next thing you know, I'm putting together a product line, and I'm thinking, well, you know, the Dark Knight was a great design. It was all segmented armor. That would be a great suit to make as a wearable jacket. So I put together a pitch and went to Warner Brothers, and fortunately, they loved the idea. They really did. And when they saw the end product, I think that they were quite pleased. So we've been fortunate with the sales of the Dark Knight suit, and shortly after that, we were contacted by Disney and to discuss Tron Legacy, and we were happy to get on board with that. As a matter of fact, quite proud to get on board with that. And then I approached Marvel, and we signed with them. We've got a lot of different characters, most of the movie franchises, past and future, and I think we're having a lot of fun with this.
That's so cool. So it doesn't sound like it's been terribly difficult for you to get these licenses.
No. Well, well, we started Universal Designs in 2001. I didn't feel that I was ready for anything like that until we knew that we were able to mass produce these items in a way that they look like they were handmade one by one. And I think that's what the market is asking for. So easy or not, I don't think that's quite the issue. It's a matter of, can we do our job if we get the license? Let's assume that we do get the gig. Then what? So the reality is, on something like Iron Man, it's an incredibly detailed suit, and, you know, look at the shoulders. They're all intricately laid, like scaled armor. I mean, it's not an easy job to do. So getting the license is the first step. But then you got to be able to produce product that's going to justify the license as well. So I think we're off to a good start with Iron Man and also the Wolverine suit.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot more to come with Marvel as well.
So you brought up the Tron suit. What are you working on for? What kind of products are you working on for Tron? And what can you tell us about them?
Well, you know, with Tron Legacy, I think that it's going to be an exciting time because we've made the Sam and Quora hero suits. They're replicas done as motorcycle suits. But if you see the suits, they look like they walked off the movie set. They've got all the glowing piping in there.
Nice.
They're just fantastic. The female suit, we've done it so that it's got the hourglass shape. We sculpted tiny little breast shapes in there to give it the sexy look, just like the movie. Not over the top,
but
just enough to identify it as a female leather jacket as opposed to just a regular leather jacket. And we're going to be doing a few other characters as well. And we did everything completely from scratch, and we broke the mold. We've got silicone prints to make the hexagon shape. And the leather has been detailed in a way that even myself, we've just never done it before. And I couldn't be happier. The discs are on the back, and there are 3D raised out discs. Just really pleased with the suits. Really pleased with those.
So you mentioned that for Tron, you made a female tailored suit. Do any of these others have female tailoring? Or?
Well, these ones here, not at the moment, because these are the male suits. But the exciting thing about that is, with Marvel, I have a lot of female characters in my contract. And as soon as the dust settles with Tron, I really want to get cracking with some of the female characters in the Marvel Universe, because I think we've got an interesting technique with the hourglass shape and the female curves that's not over the top, but it's flattering to the female wearing them. And I think that a lot of women, and you could probably relate, like something that actually enhances some of the curves. So that's what we're working on, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and 2011 is going to be a fun year.
How customizable can these suits be, or will people be able to get them at any point really customized, tailored to what they want?
Well, we have a pretty detailed size chart. For all intents and purposes, our garments are standard American sizes, from double extra small to double extra large. But a lot of the suits, like for example the Dark Knight suit, let's say you bought it in a medium. It's all completely adjustable, that you can tighten it or loosen the components on your body anyway, so they're self-customized suits. But I think that the advantage for female suits, we want to be able to incorporate a lot of that, because women like to have tight-fitting suits, and I think that if we engineer our jackets and other items to be able to be adjusted, it'll be able to flatter the form more without complicating production with custom-made suits. Because if we're selling 1,000 jackets, we can't do 1,000 custom jackets at an interesting price point that makes it easy for everybody. So it's a little too soon to commit for sure, but we're going to do our best.
Now, if somebody had the money and wanted to make like a pink Dark Knight suit for some reason, if they were willing to pay any price, would it be able to be done?
You know, unfortunately, no. I mean, I'm humbled and flattered with the attention we've got with, for instance, the Dark Knight suit, and I'm thrilled with my collaboration with Warner Brothers. But the reality of it is, we are a movie replica company. And we're going to stick with the colors that we see the suits in. And we have been offered ridiculous amounts of money to do the strangest things with these suits, but no, we just can't. We just can't.
So the movie suits are fantastic. The superheroes are great. Have you thought of going into anything like video game costume replicas or anime, things like Master Chief from Halo?
Well, you know what? That's interesting, because years ago when we were making costumes, we did a lot of promo work for video game companies and other different agencies like that. Nowadays, I mean, it's all a question of, is it the right contract for our abilities? I mean, we can form mold leather into any shape. I mean, Halo's interesting. There's no question about it. If there's the possibility, if Halo guys are listening, if there's something out there, let's talk. I'm certainly interested in it. I mean, when we did Wizard World Toronto, we had a lot of guys ask us for Halo suits. And I mean that, because there was a huge troop of guys dressed in the suits. So, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of interesting ideas out there, but the reality is, are we capable to take on the gig?
Right.
I don't want to just keep licensing up with all different types of studios and then we don't do anything with them. So we're careful with who we choose, but if it's cool, if it's got a big fan base, and if we're allowed to sell globally, I'm certainly interested in that. There's no question about it. You know, we're hardworking people. We've got a lot of people working machines, and I think that we could do some crazy-looking stuff with some of the video game characters.
Is there anything that you've tried to make a suit for and the design just wouldn't work?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I think I blocked that out, but, you know, everything is a bit of an evolution, and you do your best to put out a product that's really going to complement what you're capable of doing, and we certainly don't get everything right the first time, but if we're emotionally invested in the product, you can bet that sooner or later we're going to nail it. You know, like the Iron Man suit, it came together fairly quickly, but we took a lot of risks with the design to make sure that it would work, and I think we got lucky, but as far as failures go, no comment.
Have you considered working with any companies like a West Coast Chopper, you know, selling the Dark Knight jacket and like a bat pod?
Well, you know what? If you guys are watching, I would love for nothing more than a collaboration like that. I mean, Orange County Choppers do the custom bikes. Maybe we can do some custom suits to fit their bikes. I don't know. But one thing about me is I am an attention whore and a press whore. So if there's something that's going to showcase our work on television, I'm more than interested in getting involved in that. And I say that with no shame.
So these suits, you know, they are a little pricey. What is the general customer base for them?
Well, I think that there's a lot of fans of the genre that are buying the suits, but 70% of the suits that were sold in The Dark Knight were motorcycle riders. They truly were. Now, even though the suits are quote-unquote pricey, I mean, you're looking at $9.98 for a suit. I mean, that's a lot of money. I don't question that. What we try to do is make the purchase as easy as possible. We offer a three-month payment plan, so that's basically about $330, $340 a month over 3 months. It makes it a little easier. But at the same time, you get a huge bang for your buck. I mean, a lot of people, when we introduce some of these suits, expected them to be $2,000, $2,500,
right,
and fully prepared to pay that.
Yeah.
So $9.98, while still a lot of money, I don't deny it, it's not $2,000.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's what the value in these suits truly is. So hopefully with the payment plan and with the, you know, the emotional connection some people have to these different characters, we can continue to enjoy some decent success with the products.
So do they only sell as the full suits, or could you just buy the jacket or just the gloves or boots?
Oh, no, absolutely. You can buy just the jacket for Iron Man is $4.98. All of the suits are available in individual components with the exception of the Wolverine X-Men 2 suit. That one I sell only as a jacket and pant combo or jacket, pant, and gloves, but I can't sell just the jacket by itself. So that's the only one. Otherwise, everything can be sold in different components, in different combinations, and in some cases, different colors like the Iron Man suit.
Are we ever going to see a Stormtrooper motorcycle suit?
I can't comment on that. That's one of those things where I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. What I can say is I think it would be really cool to see some pearl white leather form-molded Stormtrooper suits that were available in standard American sizes for the general public all over the world at affordable prices. But other than that, I certainly can't comment on that.
Is there any product that you kind of dream of making a suit for that you haven't been able to do yet and hope to do?
You know what? I suppose. I mean, before getting The Dark Knight, I'm a huge Batman fan. That was a dream for me. It literally was a dream come true. And in a large way, all of the licenses that I've got have been a dream come true because I grew up with all of these characters. I mean, who didn't want to be Spider-Man? Who didn't want to be Wolverine? So in that respect, I'm directing the business and our licensed collaborations to the studios that I have an emotional connection to myself. My website clearly says, as children, we dream. And I believe that, and I'm 41 now. I still believe to this day that those emotional connections we had to the characters can live on as adults. So I really wanted Batman. I really wanted the Marvel connection. I was dying to get my hands on Tron Legacy, so I was honored that they made the call. And we do have a fourth studio that we're going to, I guess, make the worldwide debut shortly. And these are all studios and characters that I grew up with, and I'm proud to be involved with them. So I think right now we're enjoying being with the characters that I personally have wanted to be with ever since I was a kid.
Is there any chance of helmets for any of these, since a lot of them go well for headgear?
Unfortunately, through me, no. I mean, by contract, we make the outerwear, so that's basically from the neck down.
Okay.
Not only, but we specialize in clothing. I don't have the machinery or the insurance to make helmets. Now, if there's other helmet companies out there that manufacture helmets, there's a huge demand on the suits. My customers want helmets, so maybe there's licensing opportunities for other companies out there, but it won't be me. I mean, we are a leather and textile outerwear company.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's very cool. They're just such great looking suits.
Thank you.
How did it feel when the first Dark Knight one was fully done and you saw it all?
How did it feel? I had my wife put it on me. It was the prototype. And I remember her saying, okay, dinner's ready. And I was sitting at the table still wearing it. And she's like, okay, I get it. Now can you take it off, please? And I was like, nope.
How many days did you wear it for?
Something like 8 months.
That's great.
It was a great feeling. And you know what? There's a few guys running around the show here wearing the Dark Knight suit as well, which is truly humbling to me. And then I'll tell you the same thing. They'll tell you that it's comfortable, it's breathable, and a lot of these guys rode their bikes to the show wearing the suit. So I mean, that's just great. That's what I was hoping for. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we know these suits, you know, look really good and will protect you when you're riding a motorcycle. Will they help you fight crime, however?
For insurance reasons, I'm going to say no.
Good answer.
Yeah. But in our minds, they will.
Well, I can't get into your minds, but I can tell you that, well, the product is designed as a motorcycle suit, so there is padding and armor, but, I mean, guys, in reality, superheroes belong in the comic books and on film, not in the real world.
So. Super. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much to David Bea for taking the time to do that interview with us. And by the way, I tried on the jacket, the Iron Man jacket.
Yeah.
I have a picture of that. That is possibly one of the most comfortable jackets I have ever put on. Like, it's lined with I don't know, with angel wings.
Yeah,
or something.
No, totally.
Like, it's so soft in there. And you know, it's a... leather, it could be either stiff or movable, and this, like, I can really see motorcycle riders, like, really just enjoying this as a really great jacket, as a really great motorcycle outfit.
Yeah, so. I mean, these things are really amazing. You know, like I said before, you know, you go on the website and you see them and they look cool and they're on a model, but it's kind of hard to tell, but in person they look immaculate.
Yeah.
They look amazing.
For those of you who are interested in seeing them, www.udreplicas.com, and they've got the Dark Knight one, they've got, the Iron Man one, the Wolverine one. They're working on the Tron.
I love
stuff.
That we're doing a Tron one, and it's funny
so
because
cool.
When we were making, you know, when we were writing questions, we're like, wouldn't it be funny if they were going to do a Tron one? Or we knew they were going to do Tron, but wouldn't it be funny if it was going to light up?
Yeah,
and they're totally doing that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, anytime you can talk to somebody that was doing one thing and then they decided to do the thing that they love.
Yes,
and you know, it's just not only inspiring but just really cool. You know, it's nice to see that. And I have to say, for insurance purposes, you should be fighting crime.
Yes.
and don't listen to that guy, because superheroes belong in the real world.
If you're going to fight crime, though, and you're going to wear one of those, you should add extra padding of your own, like a bulletproof vest and things like that.
Yeah.
Because, well... You know, they've got motorcycle padding,
exactly.
But, you know.
But if you go and fight crime and get hurt, don't blame it on us.
Yes.
Because you can't sue us. We don't have any money anyway.
Seriously.
So that was a great interview. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
And you know.
UDReplicas.com.
And maybe it would be cool if, you know, somehow theoretically they could make a Stormtrooper outfit that, you know.
That should be coming out sometime.
Yes. That will never be coming out.
That may or may not be.
Yes. I like the fact that it sounded like the interview was in a Jedi battle.
I know.
Because he was, like, right there where the Lucasfilm stuff was.
Yeah.
I wonder how I came up with that Stormtrooper idea. It was very strange, out of nowhere, really.
They're so neat, and really for any geeks out there who ride motorcycles, it's just this ideal thing, and really for getting leather products in general, and really really well padded, really nice motorcycle gear. I mean,
well, I was really, you know, it's funny.
Mad props to them for doing such a great job.
Well, it's funny because we got an education, because, you know, it's one of those things where you go to Target and you buy a t-shirt, you buy something, and you know, they make it in, you know, China, and it, like, costs nothing to make, and, you know, you don't realize how much materials cost, and the fact that, you know, these things are made out of really good stuff. Like we said, like, you know, the Dark Knight costume looks amazing. Like, I totally just want the coat. If anybody wants to give us $500 so I can get the Dark Knight jacket,
I'm okay with that.
No problem whatsoever.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see what the female-formed Tron ones.
Totally,
like. That's
totally
be super cool.
Yes, I think it's just a great idea. So that was a very cool interview, and I just, like, it's just so cool. Like the geek. I mean, these are biker uniforms. I mean, could it be a greater representation of how, you know, how geekiness has transcended everything and how it is now, like, you know, at the pinnacle, at the forefront? I mean, bikers are wearing, like, superhero suits.
People rode their bikes to Comic-Con in the Dark Knight suit.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Bikers are not necessarily known for their geekiness.
I know.
They're mostly known for, you know, their tattoos and, you know,
which, by the way,
crazy
we saw
things.
Some geeky tattoos.
Oh, Oh, yes.
You got some great pictures.
Yeah, I got a bunch, and, you know, I got to say, I'm not a big tattoo person, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get tattooing, you know, covers of comic books and Spider-Man, and hopefully they'll be up on our blog so you could see, because there's a lot of them. We even saw a girl with a Dalek tattoo.
Yeah, that was so cool.
And, by the way, she was hot.
Super hot.
I mean, come on! It's the greatest thing ever. Fantastic.
So, Universal Designs, UD Replicas, www.udreplicas.com.
Yes.
You know, if nothing else, just check out the site, and even if you don't ride a motorcycle, that jacket is so cool.
That's the thing. It doesn't matter. If you got enough money, like,
the Iron Man jacket lights up.
That. Yeah, the Iron
Come
Man.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, oh, man. If I just had that money, I would buy that Batman suit.
Yeah.
It is the coolest thing ever. And yeah, just everything. And the Wolverine one's really cool, too. We should ask him if it came with claws.
I know, right?
I don't think it did, unfortunately.
That might hurt your motorcycle.
Yes, most likely.
You'd,
probably
like,
would've.
Poke your tire.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, the Universal Designs, UD Replicas, they were sharing a booth with this place called Anovas Productions.
Mm.
And I actually got to talk to the CEO, Joe, about what they were doing, because they were also doing these kind of replicas. Things, but they
yeah.
were doing direct replicas
yes.
of like Star Trek uniforms and like Battlestar Galactica uniforms. Their website is www.anovos.com, A-N-O-V-O-S.
Yeah.
And they, like, the really neat thing about them is they actually, whenever it was possible, they would use the actual like fabrics that were used in the costumes. You buy a Battlestar Galactica suit and it's like, it's lined, it is made exactly as the
yeah.
look of the suits were made for the show, so they're kind of pricey, but like actually a little more pricey than the motorcycle suits, but it's because, like, you know, when you go out and buy an actual suit, you're paying, like, you know, a couple thousand dollars
yeah.
for a really solid one, and then for you know, for those that can afford it, you know, and those that really like true replicas,
yeah, exactly,
these things are amazing. They also do like replicas of the some of the equipment and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that, and so it's just it's just so nice to see places like this that are really doing this stuff for the fans, because there's so many fans out there that want the exact replicas when possible and want as close as they can get for what they do, you know, and so for, you know, for those people that want great stuff for their motorcycle, you got Universal Designs, and for people that want just the amazing replicas, Anova. So
I agree. Yeah, I thought the Viper suits they had in Battlestar Galactica were really, really cool.
Yeah.
And they also had a Spock and Kirk uniforms and also just the regular blue uniform. And
yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, all the replicas. And yeah, it's just, it's great. I mean,
yeah.
the stuff is, you know, if you're working minimum wage, it would be tough for you to get, but it's just amazing stuff.
But yeah, Joe was telling me that for the Battlestar ones, like, they were going through like thousands of buttons to make sure that they got it perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so nice. It's really nice to see that how much they care
yes.
about getting it right.
Yes.
You know, it just, it's so refreshing.
And this doesn't seem like it actually goes with it, but I have to say, we saw a lot of Doctors, you know, we love Doctor Who, and we saw a lot of Tom Baker scarves,
and
every single person we asked every single person, did you buy that? Every single person made their own.
Yeah, these are a bunch of guys that knit scarves.
So there you go.
Geek guys rule.
Seamstresses are in, you know? And you know what?
Knitters.
And you know what I think? Isn't the stuff, the replica stuff they make, isn't that?
Oh, yeah, that's seamstresses, yeah.
So I think, you know, and I really think the, you know.
Tailors.
You know where this all started, really? Demolition Man.
Ah.
I mean, come on, you
well,
know?
Of course.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean,
yes, he did learn
yeah,
to knit.
Yes, exactly. Sly made it cool.
But anyways, let's go on to our final break, and we got come back. We've got a little more panel stuff, some cosplay talk, and a few more of our celebrity sightings. So we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Hey, this is Christian Kane. You're listening to Geek World. Come on.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com. And follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. So, this being our gigantic Comic-Con show.
Totally. Yes. We're now in the last half hour.
We are. It's
you
crazy.
Know.
We got through. We did our Leverage interviews.
Yes.
Awesome. We did our Tron interviews, which are also awesome.
Yes.
We did our UD Replicas interview, which was also awesome. We're just awesome.
Yeah, you know, I
have
say,
I mentioned lately how awesome we are?
I know you haven't, so I'm glad you did. I would say this is a great show. I think the only problem is I haven't talked enough. I think, you know, all these interviews, it's like, come on. You know, it's like, what about me?
Well,
what about me just, you know, rambling on about nothing?
What about you?
That's a good question, actually. I didn't quite think of it that way. Anyway, we don't have much time left, so we better talk about some of the other stuff we did.
We were talking about costumes and stuff like that, so I just want to go into one of our other celebrity sightings, which is Adrienne Curry. We actually saw her. She was the first winner of America's Next Top Model, in the day. And My Fair Brady, which, you know, one of those guilty pleasures a couple of years ago.
It's every time we're in a hotel, there's a marathon of that. Of one of the seasons.
Yeah, there was for a while.
I think we've seen, like, a lot of the episodes, like
maybe
most of them, yeah. So we have seen her and
well, she came. One of the great things about her is she's kind of known as a little bit of a nerd. She likes to play World of Warcraft naked, apparently.
Yes. But you'd rather see pictures of her.
She came in costume.
Yes.
Came in costume. We saw her two days, and she was Leia one day.
Slave girl Leia one day,
and Lilu from Fifth Element on the other day. And boy, can she wear those costumes.
Oh, yes, she
you
can.
Know, it's like, if someone's going to be wearing them, I am so happy it's her. And
yeah.
She looked fantastic.
Yes.
And, you know, she's really nicely, like, smiling and taking pictures with a lot of her fans and stuff, and a lot of people who just liked her in those costumes.
Oh, totally. You know, she wasn't the only Lilu we saw either. Speaking of Lilu, we got to see the Resident Evil Afterlife trailer in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to go to the panel, but we got to see the trailer in 3D, and man, that is going to be amazing.
Yes.
I mean, all the stuff that you want to see in 3D is there. Like, when Wesker throws his glasses, it looks like they're about to hit you in the face.
And there's such a difference between conversion and things shot with that fusion camera.
Yeah,
it looks
unreal.
Incredible.
Yeah, that scene.
Mila in 3D. Mila and Ali Larder in 3D. Mila in 3D.
I know! It's so crazy. Yeah. It's just going to be unbelievable.
So, Dave, I know what I want to go on to now.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
I know we've got panels and stuff, but can we just go on to the quest for the spirit hood?
Oh, let's do it.
Okay.
The quest for the spirit hood.
So you got to tell the story.
Oh, I got to tell the story?
Yeah, because you are the leader of this
quest. Yes,
you know,
yes.
It was a quest.
It was a vision quest, really, except for that wrestling. All right. Well, let's go back a month ago to E3. Okay, so we went to E3, and we had a great time, and we noticed all these really, really cool red cat hats everywhere.
Or wolf hats, as we found out.
And we're like, how do we get one of those? And they're like, oh, they're passing them out, and we didn't get a chance to get one. We showed up like a little late because we were running around taking pictures, trying to play the 3DS. And by the time we got there, you know, they were all out. We couldn't get any more. So we're like, darn it! And so we wanted to find a way, to get you one because you really wanted something.
And they weren't
like
just
that.
Passing that to everyone. Like, you had to stand in a group of people and then maybe catch one.
Yeah. And so I actually figured out where they were from because luckily I took a picture of a model who was insanely hot. Who, by the way, if you see the picture. Our E3 of that model. She's actually the model for that company
on the website.
And so I looked it up and I found out that they're a pricey item.
Yes.
They're pretty expensive, and so I'm like,
they're for the video game Vindictus.
Exactly, Vindictus. And so we realized we couldn't really purchase one. We get to Comic-Con this year and we look around and we keep on seeing the hats everywhere.
That hat mocked me everywhere I turned.
Yes, and that became our reoccurring joke is no matter what, you're never gonna get that hat. You couldn't get it at E3. You can't buy it because it's too expensive, and everyone's around wearing them, mocking you.
Yeah.
And it would even get to the point where we would walk around by the second, third day. We'd see guys who guys who look like they haven't taken a shower that day, like smoking a cigarette, wearing the hats.
It's like really? I would have taken care of that hat. I would have loved that hat.
It's like we get cute girls and stuff wearing it, but like this, like, come on. And so we were like, oh man, this is never gonna happen. And so we get to the Vindictus booth and we were like, how do we get this hat? And they're like, well, basically you need to play the game, and then you need to you get a raffle ticket, and we're raffling them off every day. And so we wait in line to play Vindictus. Now keep in mind, Vindictus is a really interesting game because it's a PC game where it's an MMO where you run around with your friends and you basically try to kill big guys with axes and all kinds of medieval stuff. And what's really cool about it is it's a free game.
Yes. And now when we say free, we don't mean that you pay for the game and then you get to roam around for free. No.
Yeah.
Everything that you need to play this game is free. If you have a computer, you can get this game for free and play it for free and play with your friends online for free.
Yeah, and basically, and exactly, and it's you don't, like you said, you don't have to pay for the game, you don't have to pay for any of the upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked the guy, how are you guys making money? And it was really interesting because apparently their company sort of
pioneered this new thing called
microtransactions, which basically means you download the game for free and you can play it online for free, but know, if you want to, like, you know, if you want your character to have, like, some kind of cool, like, suit that's, like, a weird different color or something, you know, you can pay a few bucks to get that extra suit.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, you know, he said, he gave the example, if you want your character to have a gold-plated AK-47, you could, you know, spend a few dollars to do that.
So for, like, really extra things, like the luxuries that you absolutely don't need, but that are just awesome to have, you know, that's what you pay for. You pay for luxury, essentially.
And, people are used to buying skins and stuff like that for games anyway. And so, and, you know, that's the business plan. And basically, you know, he said they started off in Korea and it worked really well, but everyone's like, it's not going to work in America. But then, you know, they've already come up with a few and it's working really well for them. So I think
I got to say, you know, we're not really PC gamers.
No.
We don't do it much, but I actually enjoyed, I enjoyed playing, you know. I gotta say, you know, using the mouse, it's like, it's just tough. I was having a lot of trouble. I felt really bad for the guys that were waiting for my computer.
Yeah.
I was having so much trouble. I would just get lost trying to use it. But at the same time, I was really enjoying myself, so I didn't want to stop.
Totally.
You know?
And I thought it was so clever. I was like, oh, I don't really play PC games. I need a controller to play something. He's like, well, these guys are like, yeah, you can hook up an Xbox 360 controller and play it. I was like, oh. Okay.
And, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's excellent. And the game was really fun. So basically, you know, and during these economic times, it's really cool to have a game that's for free like that. So basically, you know, we were waiting in line, and then, you know, we got to a point where basically the cutoff point was supposed to be after us, but then, like, oh, no, it's before, so now, you know, you guys, you know, can, you know, basically only play for fun. But it's like, but we want one of those red hats.
Yeah, and we were told that we would totally get a raffle ticket.
Yeah, and so, you know, luckily people were cool, like, okay, that's fine. As long as you, you know, play the game and get a raffle ticket. And so we both went in, we both played the game. Like I said, we actually had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, I was playing with these two other kids who were, you know, like 8 years old.
Yeah.
Of course, they were way better than I was. And then basically we came back the next day, and it was Sunday. It was the last day that we
could
win one.
And what you do is, like, because the raffle for that day had already gone on, you got to exchange your tickets so that you could come back the next day. So you had to actually remember to come back the next day.
Now, keep in mind, there's about 100 people waiting to see if they win the raffle.
Yeah.
Like, these hats are, like, for really in demand. People really want them. And so Sunday, you know, we exchange the tickets, and then we get in line, and we're like, you know what? No matter what, this is never going to happen because, you know, the hat mocks you. And so, of course, they're reading off the numbers, and they get to, like, the third to last number, and all of a sudden, it's one of our numbers.
And first off, you know, you hear the number, you've been waiting so long for, like, this to actually happen, and you do, like, I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
I did not believe it at all. I was like, no, that can't be right. Well, just, I'm asking you to, like, look at the screen and make sure that that's what it says. And you're like, yeah, it doesn't. And from that point on, I was staring at that computer screen to make sure it didn't change, to make sure I was, like, looking at the right number.
Yeah,
I was so worried. I was holding so tightly to that ticket. Like, I was about to start, like, bleeding on it, and, like, the number was going to, like, erase itself because I was going to bleed on it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it was crazy.
We didn't know if it was like Fight Club. We just imagined that this was going on. And so, you know, we ended up getting the Spirit Hood. So now, you know, we can no longer joke about it. And the funniest thing about it was the night before, like, Charlie and Chocolate Factory was on, the original one.
It was essentially our quest for the, you know, we got the golden ticket. It was our entire trip through Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Everything about
the original.
It. Yeah, everything about what happened in Charlie and Chocolate Factory actually, like, worked out with that. So so that was our quest for the Spirit Hood.
So
and
cool.
Now anime has her Spirit Hood. So,
you know, but Vindictus is really cool, and you know, for any of you who love PC gaming, and or any of you that even want to just try it, it's like, hey, what better way to try it than with a free game?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I don't play a lot of MMOs, but you know, I got to say, the fighting, the action was really good,
really good,
it was really good, and it was right up my alley. And so I think I really think it's a good time, and it, you know, you can't beat free.
Can't beat free, yeah.
So definitely check out the game.
So yeah.
So
let's move on. Now that we've gone through our quest for the Spirit Hood. So
let's talk real quick about being human.
Yes. Okay. So we have been championing being human since we started watching it last year. The show that we always refer to as the show that's description sounds like a joke.
Yes.
A vampire, a werewolf, and a ghost all live together in a flat.
Yes.
In Cardiff or something? Or?
I don't remember.
It's somewhere in England.
Yeah, it's somewhere near London or in London. Yeah. You know, this is a show now. It's second season. I believe it actually it premiered the same weekend as Comic-Con, the second season did. And we were really lucky to get there because we got to not only see the creator and hear from the creator, Toby Whithouse, but also we got to see the stars.
Yes.
We got to see Russell Tovey, who plays George the werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see Lenora Critchlow, who plays Annie, who, by the way, is
so beautiful.
So beautiful.
Oh, yeah, my God. Like, and it's nice to see her out of that outfit.
Yes, yeah, exactly, yes. And Aiden Turner playing Mitchell, and if you'd like to talk about him being pretty.
Turner, like, if you watch the show, you're like, wow, look at him on TV, all mysterious and beautiful, and just standing there like, look to me, I'm mysterious and beautiful.
Yes.
And then you see him in person, and you go, wow, he just is that. He just stands there being mysterious and beautiful.
It's actually really funny.
It's kind of not fair.
I think we realized that, reality. You know, he probably didn't even audition. They probably walked in the room and looked at all the guys, and they saw the one guy who just naturally looks like a brooding vampire, like, all the time.
And then they go, say something for us.
Yes.
And he goes, what do you want me to say?
Yeah.
And they go, that's it, you're hired.
I think they were like, okay, this guy has it down. Like, he doesn't even have to try, and he looks like a vampire. So as long as he doesn't sound like David Beckham, we should be okay. And yeah, and it was really funny seeing that, because it's like, wow, he just looks like that all the time.
And not to, like, Russell Tovey is also adorable.
Adorable. Yeah.
Adorable.
Yes.
We've now said that Lenore is beautiful and Aiden is also beautiful, so I feel bad because, like, you know, we're just...
Yeah, but he made fun of his own ears, so, you know, he knows
true.
Where we're looking. And by the way,
he's,
you know,
just
what?
Also awesome.
Whatever. The guy was in, like, two episodes of Doctor Who, so
and
you know what?
And everyone, apparently, like, everyone is holding out hope that he will be the new Yanto for the new Torchwood.
Yeah,
like,
right?
That's what everyone seems to want.
He says that's, like, the question everyone asks him, and he's like, I don't know, I don't even watch that show. And also, Sinead Keenan, who plays Nina, who is George's girlfriend, who also will be a werewolf this season, was also there, too. And, you know, I gotta say, the main thing was it was really funny, and they were all really cool, and you know, we got to see a few scenes from this season. It's gonna be a lot darker this season.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, you know, we love about British TV is they don't waste time. They're really funny, but also the drama's fantastic.
Yes.
And it's just an unbelievable show.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, hopefully we can get video from the panel up.
They were so funny, too. Like,
yeah.
Lenora, she was so quick.
Oh, yeah, she was
She was
great.
Joking on everything.
Yeah.
She would joke with the audience. She would joke with her co-stars. She was making faces at them and oh man,
I can't get over it.
She's so beautiful and so funny, and like and Russell Tovey was just adorable, and oh man, and they were just having so much fun up there.
The show's got something for everything. You know, Russell Tovey, you know, the George character is my favorite character, and he's like the most human, and he's the one you know has the most kind of frailties, and he's great. You know, the vampire character is really, really awesome. I know a lot of women think he's really attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for me, you know, Annie, you know, she's so beautiful, and like I said, like, it's so nice to see people in person. They're even, like, more beautiful
for
the same amount. It's like, oh. But she's also fantastic, and they're all really good actors, and it was a great panel. And, you know, the show looks like it's going to be really awesome this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it looks, and they're already starting on a third season, I believe.
And they also got to talk about, you know, about the remake. Some people asked some questions about that. And they all seem really cool with it. They think it's fine. It's not going to, you know, affect their show at all. And,
except they wish they were paid as much as American actors.
Yes, exactly, yes.
But I think one of the most interesting things that we learned at the panel was what the original premise is going to be for these characters.
Yes.
Because originally this was not going to be a kind of supernaturally, you know, geared show. This was supposed to be about, you know, three kind of people with neuroses living in a flat together.
Yes.
And it was supposed to be the Mitchell character, who's the vampire. He was supposed to be a sex addict.
Yes.
The Lenora's character, who's the ghost, her character was supposed to be someone who's pretty much agoraphobic.
Uh-huh.
And the George the werewolf character, he wasn't supposed to be a werewolf. He was just kind of supposed to be like kind of
OCD.
Yeah, OCD, yeah. Neurotic. Yeah. With kind of like that inner rage to him, because like, you know, he'd get, you know, but yeah, it was not supposed to be supernatural. But the thing was that they couldn't come up with any sort of storylines.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't come up with anything interesting to do with them. And you know, all of a sudden the
creator basically said, hey, you know, he joked. He's like, hey, what if we make George a werewolf?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, like, there have been other shows he worked on where he made the same joke, but this time people were like, yeah, let's try that.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, it ended up working because they were able to write from there.
Because they were able to turn the other neuroses of these characters directly into these supernatural beings. Like, Lenora's ghost is, you know,
she can't leave the house.
She's rooted to the house.
Yeah,
you know?
And sex addict, obviously, like, the need for blood.
The addiction.
You know? I totally agree. And I thought one of the really interesting things he said was the fact that, you know, he thinks that's one of the reasons the show is successful is because they started with characters first, and then turned it supernatural after.
And that's what we've always said about it, that you connect with these characters, and like you feel their pain, and it's such an amazing show. If you haven't seen it, you really should watch the first season and now catch the second season.
It's almost like Let the Right One In. It's sort of like, it has more to do with humanity than being a monster. I know we only have a few minutes left. Let's just really quick talk about Teen Wolf so we can get to it. Okay, so we saw this Teen Wolf MTV remake that's basically, you remember how funny Teen Wolf was when the movie? Yeah, none of that anymore.
None of that. No, and they're proud of that. They are proud to be making a not funny Teen Wolf.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's see. The creator of it is actually called it, and I quote, a horror story, a thriller, and a romance.
Wow.
And, and we got to see the first 10 minutes, and I got to say,
by the way, the creator is also the creator of Criminal Minds, if that tells you anything.
Yeah, we don't know how that happened. But basically, it is the nightmare you're expecting.
Yes.
It has nothing to do really with the original, except for the names are pretty much the same. Like, his friend is named Styles. But, they're trying to go with more of the darker, like, Twilight-y type route. And it's just,
And I liked how they kept saying, and no one else is doing makeup on werewolves. It's like, maybe you should stick around for the Being Human panel.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And, KMB is doing the effects and all, which is fun. But basically, one of the things I really don't like about it is the fact that it starts off with him just basically, the main character in the forest, like, getting attacked by basically a werewolf, and he gets bitten. Yeah. So that's clearly how he's going to become a werewolf. I mean, I thought one of the great things about the movie Teen Wolf was that it was a family thing. Mm-hmm. His father was a Teen Wolf, his grandfather, and so they've taken that away, they've taken the comedy away. I don't think we're going to be seeing any flips on any vans driving through anywhere.
No van surfing, I don't think.
And, I saw one of the most unnecessary CGI shots in the history of the planet, in it, where his asthma medicine is, flying through the sky at the camera.
Yeah, and between the deer and the asthma medicine,
the creator actually said they're mostly inspired by Lost Boys. So, there you go.
Wow.
I gotta say, it was really as really scary as I thought it would be, and not scary in a good way. And the other thing was, it was one of the most awkward panels we've ever been to.
Yeah.
Because, the guy came, basically the creator came in, he's like, oh yeah, we're all just here to make sure, none of you think that we're, ruining Teen Wolf. And there was like, I swear,
silence.
I could hear crickets
in
the background.
Yeah.
And then, nobody wanted to ask any questions. There was about four people who walked up to ask questions, and three of them knew people on the panel.
Yeah.
And it was just like, how's it going, buddy? I gotta say, I can't imagine watching this. And I think the other thing is, most of the actors are very young. They're actually high school age. A lot of them are newcomers. And honestly, like, I can see why the CW cast 25-year-olds
I know.
To play teenagers, because some of them were just not good actors at all.
Yeah, I mean, the main guy, you could barely tell whether or not he could act. I mean, he's been acting like since he was a little kid. He was like, the little kid in this and the little kid in that.
And apparently, he might have been Jacob Black and like Twilight.
He was the runner-up essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
But you couldn't even tell if he could act or not, because the guy who played his best friend was so awful.
Yeah,
so ridiculously awful. Like I couldn't believe that this was an actual show they were making with this kid.
Yeah, well, you know what? His work speaks for himself. He's on YouTube.
Yeah, that was the thing. That was what we found out. How did they discover him? He was he came in for the audition, and what was on his resume? Two YouTube links.
Yeah. Well, but what are you going to do? So
don't choose your cast from YouTube.
It's an hour
really.
Long. They're going to have three different types of werewolves, and it's just like...
I think they should have no types of werewolves.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend ever watching this. I mean, it looks extremely bad.
Even though you know not to expect much from MTV, I still expect more than this.
That was the worst part. Everyone's like, it's MTV. What do you expect? It's like, shut up. That's not a good answer.
It's not. That shouldn't be the answer. Yeah. MTV should want more. I mean, MTV's movies haven't like always been like terrible. Like if they can make decent movies, they should be able to make at least semi-decent TV.
Yeah, I mean, MTV brought us a lot of good stuff, back in the past. They brought us things like Liquid Television, things like Beavis and Butthead.
You know what the worst part about this panel was?
What?
Pretty much only the star had seen the original Teen Wolf.
No one else had seen it.
He was a fan of it. He was really kind of... And it was really funny when he was actually talking about when he read the script for this, and someone was like, what did you think of it? And he was like, yeah, it was... not what I expected.
Yeah.
You know, you could tell he wanted the comedy of Teen Wolf because he actually knew Teen Wolf, but everyone else, none of them had seen the original, and none of them frustrating, and none of them even really knew anything about MTV. It felt like that was the worst part. It's like, you people all suck.
They're like test tube babies, just came out, and they're like, hey, look at the world.
I know you're young, but when you're working on something like this, shouldn't you know a little more about the background of it?
One of the girls on the panel was like, and it's so great working for MTV, you know, they're so great, like they came out with The Real World in the 80s.
Really? You're so ignorant.
Yeah, so
you don't even know anything about the network you're on.
I honestly thought Twilight was really bad, but I gotta say, I think it might have a little more credibility now.
I think we're usually the ones that are like, you know, give this a try. Don't give this a try. Don't do it. Like, just, you know,
well, the worst
this,
part-
this is the kind of thing that drags down the entire, like, werewolf-y genre. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if it was going anywhere still at this point, like, this is the kind of thing that ruins it.
Yeah, it's like we weren't expecting to have him, you know, in Teen Wolf makeup doing, you know, the Thriller dance, flipping on Vans or anything, but to take something and, I mean, this is what they did with Bionic Woman.
And they failed.
They failed. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. They took a more comedic light show and they turned into this dark thing.
Yeah, and everyone who stood up at that panel asked the question, is this going to be funny like the original? Yeah. Well, the great thing was... Yeah, I thought it was so funny that no one had any questions for this panel. No one wanted to know anything because you pretty much saw everything you needed to in that preview.
It was funny in like an absurdist way, like in a movie when you see someone like make just a really bad decision and you watch a really bad clip from a movie and it's like you're in a movie and you're supposed to be making fun of it, except it was The Real World and it was scary. The Real World, you know, from the 80s.
Yeah.
Just stay away from this like the plague.
Yeah.
Like it is actually a worse case scenario than people were assuming when they read the press release about it.
Yeah.
Like, it is actually far worse than you can imagine.
So whereas The Cape we were pleasantly surprised with, this it was worse than our worst expectations could have been.
I can't even watch it. Like, I couldn't watch it if we had MTV.
Oh, God. Michael J. Fox, stay away.
Yeah. Don't watch it.
Don't, hope you never have to answer a question about it.
And I'm sick and tired of, like, oh, it's on MTV. What do you expect? I expect more from a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any TV show. Yeah, the Jersey Shore is like MASH compared to this show. I mean, really. Can't believe it. Anyway, let's stop talking about this and get on to Falling Skies, which is like the last thing we can talk about. So, you know, we didn't know much about this. It's a TNT show.
I didn't actually know anything about it.
No, we didn't. It's a TNT show that's going to come out next year, next summer, 2011. It's starring Noah Wyle from ER and Moon Bloodgood from My Dreams.
Yes.
And a lot, as well as, she was in, let's see, Terminator Salvation, Journeyman, Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li, which I gotta say, I wish her and Kristen Crook had done the lesbian mating dance.
I know, right?
But, you know, such is life. And it's also executive produced by not only Steven Spielberg, but also, Graham Yost, who does Justified, which is one of her new favorite shows.
Yes.
And you know, it's actually a really interesting idea. Basically, the whole thing starts 6 months after an alien invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And the trailer we starts off with a ship going by and blowing up a city, and basically from there
a lot of it is told in the pictures drawn by children so you're kind of getting this from a few different perspectives, and like you said, it takes place starting 6 months after the invasion, and so you're pretty much at this place where Earth has been invaded, alien forces are stronger than us, better than us, and killing, destroying, and kidnapping lots of people, and so you've got these kind of factions of humans that are now left to deal with this. It's not even aftermath. It's during math.
Yeah, yeah.
During,
well, sort of like,
during this.
It's sort of like it's sort of like the book The Road. You know, it already started when everything already happened. And basically, Noah Wyle plays his character, who was a college a history professor, and he
a librarian?
Yes, yes, he was. He's the librarian by TNT. This whole show is brought to you by. No, it's not. His wife dies in the invasion. He has three kids, but one of them has been stolen by the aliens. And according to Noah Wyle, you know, the aliens want adolescence, and that's going to be part of the mystery. And
I hope the mystery doesn't turn out like Children of Earth, Torture of Children of Earth.
Yeah. Which, by the way,
was one of the creepiest things ever.
It was
the
creepiest thing. Yeah. By the way, Doctor Who wouldn't even done that. That was rough. That was beyond Ron. Moon Bloodgood obviously part of it, and she kind of is sort of a love interest for him.
Wow, there's noise. Yes. That is a lot of noise.
It's the aliens! No!
Moon Bloodgood, you know, her character lost her husband and child, and so she kind of latches herself onto the Noah Wiley character because she kind of needs that in order to just get along in her life, or else because she lost everything that she loved.
Yeah,
so.
And Mark Verheiden, who's one of the great writers for Battlestar Galactica and Heroes, he does a lot of writing for the show, and also you know, I just think it has really cool ideas. Like, the aliens can find people in like large groups, so like humanity kind of has to spread out so that they can't be found, and also you know, originally I guess the show was gonna be called Concord. It was gonna be more like having a lot of allusions to the Revolutionary War.
But
Spielberg thought that would limit them.
I think that's why Spielberg yeah, exactly.
Exactly, that's why we don't have to say his whole name.
Yes.
And it just looks really cool, and the aliens look like they could be really cool. They teased them. They sort of remind me of prawns from District 9, but with huge teeth. And
but it's
like,
also hard to say exactly what they look like, because, you know, they were only able to show us exactly. It was pretty much the preview for what, you know,
so they could look totally different. That's just kind of what I saw.
Oh, and I liked the unintentional allusion to Evil Dead with the supermarketing
Shop Smart. Yes.
Like, Shop Smart.
And they also have cool, like, Predator laser guidance.
Yes.
But I guess that's it. Is there anything else we want to talk about for the 1 minute we have? Any other celebrity sightings? Or did we get through them all?
No, you know.
Thomas Jane was everywhere.
Yeah, Thomas Jane is a total geek, and he was just in there taking pictures and being so happy to be there and enjoying himself and then just walking around.
Like, I like
Thomas
Jane.
Kind of trying to hide his face a little so that people wouldn't catch us, that he could actually get around to get the pictures.
Yeah.
Rock on, Thomas Jane, for being a geek and being proud of it.
So Seth Green incognito with a hat and glasses on. And were there any other ones?
We walked by Felicia Day.
Felicia Day, right.
Tom Sizemore.
Yeah, Tom Sizemore I saw, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Zarek. What's his face?
Richard
Hatch.
Yes, thank
you.
Teamwork.
Yes, we saw the Puppet Master from Heroes.
Yes, we did, yes.
And that's
just people walking around. That's not including panels, obviously.
But that's actually all the time that we have for this episode of Geek World. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same place. This is our awesome Comic-Con show. So don't forget, go to Comic-Con next year because Comic-Con rules, and wear your costumes.
And check our website. We should have some videos and definitely pictures up.
Mm-hmm. www.geekworldradio.com.